Welcome to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. I have an in-studio guest today. Mics are live. Her name's Sierra. And today we're going to talk about Sierra's passion for fitness. I've known Sierra since she was a little third grader, I think third grade, playing basketball with my youngest daughter, Leah. Leah and Sierra were about the same height, the shortest girls on the team. So both, you know, point guards, so in the rotation, you know, first five, second five, that kind of thing. And so Sierra was always like the competition. Thankfully, she went to a different high school, so she didn't remain the competition. But over the years, you know, I've kind of watched how she grew into a lovely young woman, went away to college. I kind of know her mom just from being a basketball mom on the sidelines. But I saw a thing on Facebook, I don't know, maybe a month ago, Sierra's mom posted something about Sierra's next steps after college. And it just really piqued my interest because Sierra has a passion for fitness and she wanted to start her own business. And I wanted to talk to her about it because a lot of kids my daughter's age these days, they graduate college and they have their degree in marketing or business and they take a traditional route like, I'm going to go get a desk job or follow in my parents' footsteps or whatever. But you don't hear about young people wanting to start a business of any kind unless they got a degree in entrepreneurship, which I do know someone that did that. And she has her own business and it's here in Sonoma County, which I can give Haley a little plug with her Face Foundry. But, you know, some of those things are inside job. So this is grassroots. This is my passion. How am I going to make it reality? So Sierra, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Danny. My name is Sierra. Yeah, I have a passion for fitness. I played collegiate basketball and then I was when I was figuring it out, I kind of saw a lack of just fitness and athletes in the high school level and how they take care of themselves. And I kind of reflected on myself when I was in high school and I didn't have any of that. Like I didn't pick up weights until I got to college.
Right.
And so, I mean, you see all these kids that get injuries or they just don't have the confidence. And you also see them see other kids where they're like, wow, they're stronger, they're faster. Like, how is that happening? And so just that connection of, you know, these kids can have the skill, but they need to take that next step and get into the weight room and find that rehab, find the recovery, but also build strength and confidence at the same time.
So when we say passion for fitness, I guess people think immediately fitness is strength. And, you know, you talked about weight training, but fitness for me on my wellness journey is as much about what we put in our bodies as what we expect as an output from our body. So you think about high school kids, you know, you're in training for your sport, whatever your sport is, soccer, basketball, softball, whatever it is, you're training in season, and then you go to In-N-Out after the game. Or, you know, maybe your parents aren't into fitness. They're just like, they love you and they support your sport, but they're not demonstrating fitness to you. So like, how do you get young kids to know that fitness isn't just strength or your natural God-given abilities? Like my daughter, for example, is God-given with speed.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, some of those things that you can't really coach. I mean, you can't really teach someone how to be fast. I mean, you can teach them to be faster.
For sure.
So like, what do you do with those kids? Like, I want to be an athlete. I feel like I am an athlete. I can run, I can jump, I play a sport, but is there another level for me? Like, is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. Like definitely. I think people, when they hear fitness, they think throwing around a barbell or doing sprints and stuff like that. But it goes beyond that. It goes into nutrition, sleep, hydration. And, you know, kids don't know that. And all I would say the advice to that, because, you know, if they don't have parents that
model it,
they just get them into something, right? If they get into a program or get into a gym with somebody who knows what they're talking about, they're going to teach them those things. Like, if you just get them started, they'll learn so much more.
So and did you ever go to a gym? Like, when, like, are your parents members of gym? Like, did you go to, like, 24-hour fitness or?
Yeah. My parents were actually a part of Montecito Health Club when I was in high school. And, like, I remember going in there and just kind of seeing, you know, there would be flyers about nutrition. But I never took it seriously. And then definitely.
Because you, too, were just naturally an athlete.
Yes. Yeah. And that's hard. Like, a lot of times it does come with genetics. But most of the time it's discipline. And if you have a goal and you want to meet that goal or you want to get somewhere, everybody has the potential to do it. They just have to put their mindset into doing it.
So let's talk about you in particular.
Yeah.
So here you are, a high school athlete. I mean, you played a lot of sports in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. I was basketball, golf, and softball.
Okay. So did you always think, I'm going to go to college and play a sport?
Not at all. No. Okay. I basketball was my main sport. I played it year-round, travel ball in high school. Definitely, I went to Montgomery High School, and I was that kid that really wanted to go to Carl Newman High School. Obviously, did not get that opportunity, and I just wanted so bad. I thought that I was going to get a scholarship if I went there. So I didn't give myself the opportunity because I went to Montgomery that I was like, oh, I'm going to play somewhere. So I told
myself.
Because
there's not that in public school. They don't have.
No, it's not common unless you play for, you know, a really known club team. Then you can get recruited outside of it. But Sonoma County really is just a small town and not a lot of kids come out of here. And the kids that do and go off and play, like, they're the legit, you know. So, but I didn't think I was going to play on. And so my coach at the junior college, she reached out to me and she said, hey, you should come on. It was during COVID, so I was kind of flipping if I wanted to do it or not. And I'm glad I took the opportunity.
Okay, wait, I'm going to backtrack for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
So you always knew you wanted to go to college, or that even wasn't a thing that you knew you wanted to do?
No, that was not a thing at all. Okay. I definitely was like, I wasn't a student kid. I was not good in the classroom. So I was like, I don't think I can go to college, honestly. And then the opportunity came about, and I just took the leap of faith and went.
To the JC.
To the JC,
which is a very reputable junior college. It has a great reputation as a JUCO school that gets kids to the next level.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And we definitely, you know, not just basketball, but other sports at the JC, they have a good track record of getting kids to go on and play at the next level. So everybody kind of looks at junior colleges and is like, well, I don't want to do that. But at the end of the day, you're going to save way more. If you don't know what you want to do, but you want to go to college, you're going to save way more money doing that and get your GEs. And especially if you want to play a sport, you dip your toes in the water and you get to see what that environment is like of how to train and take care of your bodies.
So talk about that. So you go to the JC, it's COVID because you're a 2020 graduate.
I am. Yeah.
So it's everything shut down.
Yes.
I mean, how are you practicing? How are you training? What does that look like?
This was a funny story. Well, we couldn't meet at all as a team. And my head coach had a team of, I think it was like 15 of us. And they were all local kids. I all knew them. Annalie, Newman, Montgomery, all these kids. And so she's like, well, we're going to meet at Comstock and do outdoor workouts. So she put us a couple weeks through outdoor workouts. And during the time, it's when things were really shut down, I decided to move out to Montana with my dad. And I was like, how can I make this work? And she said, just join on a Zoom, since that's like the common thing.
Yeah.
So I would, in Montana during COVID, you know, they didn't really go by anything. Things weren't shut down there. So I joined a gym out there and I created my little corner. I set up a little corner. I set up my Zoom. She put me through workouts. I'm in the middle of a public gym doing this. But I knew that I had goals and I knew that I needed to move my body if I wanted to keep playing.
Yeah.
Because I also believed that, you know, COVID was going to end one of these days and I was going to be able to play again. So
did you ever have any injuries in all the times that you played sports up until even junior college?
No, I was very fortunate not having like severe injuries. I had pretty bad shin splints, but other than that, I would say I was pretty lucky, but I could have easily, because I didn't know how to take care of myself and strengthen those muscles that I had.
So you just had gumption. You were able to motivate yourself
Yeah.
in this bubble
Yes.
to do the workouts.
Yeah.
So when do you get to play college basketball, junior college basketball?
Yeah, so that was about 8 months of that. And then finally we got the okay that we could go on campus and wear masks. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm moving back to California. And we got started in August of 2021. That's what it was. So it was almost a whole year we were
Yeah.
doing all that. And it was pretty much the same. Like, she kept the standard and things that we were doing on Zoom. Obviously, we were doing a it was a lot more difficult because we had the equipment that we could use.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's when I learned everything of like movements and modality, like different
And
modalities.
this was eye-opening for you?
This was super eye-opening to me.
Okay.
And one thing that was very fortunate is my head coach, she did cross or she does CrossFit. And so she made her strength and conditioning program more CrossFit based. So
Okay.
you would see those like hero workouts, a lot of the metabolic conditioning stuff. But I was in the best shape of my life. So it proved me wrong, but also I learned functional movements where I never knew they existed.
And how did that translate to your sport, to basketball, to playing basketball?
Yeah, I mean, at the college level, it's a different speed and that explosiveness, that quickness, and that's what it is. You learn these explosive movements with weights that it will translate over to your sport. You can cut harder, you can sprint, you can catch up to someone, you can jump higher. Like, it's stuff like that. And with your conditioning side of it, you can last longer. You can play a
Yeah.
40-minute game, right? You can, when it's getting grinding deep, last 2 minutes, fourth quarter, and there's a like you're down two. You got to dig deep. You got to find it. But if you train hard before, you can put your trust into that training that you did to get you through that game, to get you through those moments.
Okay, so you're 19.
Yeah.
You've always relied on your body. It was just took it for granted. This body's going to get me from A to B, no problem. I play sports. I'm an athlete.
Yes.
Now you're like, this is a body that can get me places. This is a
Yes.
body that can maybe get me to the next level. I mean, were you thinking that way? Were you
Yeah.
that proud? Could you see the difference? Were you like, this is real?
Yeah. Like, towards the end of my first season actually playing, I was like, wow, so much has changed about me and my strength. Like, I think I can play the next level. And me and my coach talked about it. And that my second year, that's what we really focused on, that I could get to the next level. And that's a whole different speed from JUCO level and the workouts that you see there and stuff. So, yeah, I knew I wanted to keep playing. I definitely gained my love back for the game because I trusted that I should keep playing.
Yeah. Okay. So you do. You go to the
Yeah.
next level.
Yeah. So I left the JC, after I got my associates, went over to Monterey Bay, played a season there, and that was completely different of just different dynamic and the way they would kind of train us and stuff. And long story short, definitely just wasn't my fit. So a lot of kids were going into the portal, and the portal's like a huge thing right now.
Yes.
And so I had a full ride scholarship. I had everything paid for me, but I knew I wasn't happy, and I knew that all this work that I had put in, I'm not gonna waste it here. So I took the leap of faith. I went in the portal, and Chico State came and snagged me, and that was like the best thing that possibly could have ever happened to me. The team, my family there, my head coach, their strength and conditioning coach there, I learned so much from him, even
Okay.
more.
So the next level of
Yes.
knowledge and fitness
Yes.
and body dynamics, all of
Yeah.
that, even more than what you had at the
Even more.
JC, which was such an eye-opener. So this
Yes.
is even more than that. So what's going on inside of you? You're like, this is like, I love this.
Yeah,
Like, this is my world.
exactly. I knew that I could play these really, really tough games because at that level, when you get to the D2 level, you'll play a Thursday night, you got one night off, and then you gotta play Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And, if you're traveling down to LA, that's a tough road trip. Or if you're traveling up to Humboldt, very tough road trip.
Yeah.
So knowing that this the preparation and the strength and conditioning that we put into it, I was able to get through this grindy season as my last season ever playing collegiate basketball.
Yeah.
And what was super cool with this, I mean, every strength and conditioning program is going to be different, but what's super cool that I definitely want to translate to mine eventually is they really were big on nutrition. Like, they took care of our nutrition. And that is...
That's the next thing I was going to ask you.
Yeah, that is a big...
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. It's a big thing that it's, yeah, you can lift heavy weight, but you got to be able to sustain all of that and the work that you put in. And if you don't get your sleep, if you don't get your nutrition, and you might as well just throw away all the hard work you just put in.
So talk about sleep, because you're in college.
Yes.
And, you know, sleep is a luxury for grown-ups and babies.
Yes.
You know, when you're a teenager, who cares?
Right.
When you're in your 20s and you're in college and you're partying and you're, even if you play sports, you know, there's still a social life.
Yes.
Like sleep, I can sleep when I'm dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard it a million times. So how did you have to prioritize that to recover.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that, because I know sleep's important to you. Yeah. We talked about it briefly.
I think that it goes along with just the word of discipline. Right. You got to find discipline in taking care of yourself and push yourself through those workouts to get to the next level. Right. But it's the same thing with sleep. Yeah. My friends are going out, but you know what? I need my full 8 hours before this game if I want to perform, or, you know, practices aren't going well, or I'm exhausted. Listen to your bodies. Listen. Right. And for a while, I think in that 18 to 20 age group of mine at that time, it was, we didn't know how to listen to our bodies.
Yeah.
Me, I will take, yeah, I did not know how to listen
like,
to
my body.
Like,
what is the signal?
Yeah, right. I was just like, oh, I'm tired, but it's fine. Like, I gotta keep pushing it, right? And then finally, I just started seeing how, like, just detrimental that was to my performance and how I just did everyday life. And I was like, okay, yeah, I need to.
Because there's also a school component. You're still taking classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to show up for those.
Yes.
We don't get time off just because we got a game.
Yes.
Or do you? I don't know. I don't know. I've never been a D1, D2, D3 athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit, but you still got to make grades.
No, yeah. You still got to make grades. You just got to, it's hard. It's a grindy thing because there's a lot of things you have to be responsible for yourself. But that's the blessing of being on a team is you can hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
Right. So, in the weight room, like somebody's failing or failing a lift or whatever, like you have your teammates to support you. All right. Well, you see one of your teammates just not into it. Like they're just gassed super early into practice. Well, clearly something, you know, they're not hydrated. One of those components.
Yeah. Didn't then you got it. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Late, whatever.
And I mean, I've had teammates that straight up have brought a whole meal for another teammate because they, you know, couldn't take care of themselves. And that's the joy of a team is you become family. So it's not all that you have to do by yourself. But you definitely, that's the thing about being an athlete is you learn those characteristics of discipline, accountability, and just overall, like, how to move forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hear about, obviously, I'm on the parent side, but you hear about these parents who are like, my girl's going to go to college and she's going to play ball.
Yes.
Well, guess what? It's also your daughter's first time away from home, or son's first time away from home.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to manage a lot of things on their own that maybe you took care of. How to eat.
Right.
When to eat.
Yes.
How to sleep. How to say no. How to manage their time. All the things that, as a young person or a high school person, you know, mom and dad are home. Like, you know, you're having dinner at 6 every night.
Right.
And if you're at practice, they're going to save dinner for you. Like, you don't have to think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know now, as a grown-up working in the work field, the brain power is almost more tiring than physical work.
Yes.
Because, so we're putting these kids in these situations where we're asking so much of them physically. But also, be sure to manage your life and your time and your nutrition and your sleep. It's a lot. So having a team, you know, like obviously my daughter didn't play college sports, but she was in a sorority. That's the same kind of thing. You still have this family.
For Yeah,
for sure. Looking out for each other?
Yeah.
And propping each other up and making sure everyone's okay?
Yeah.
That is so vital. And I'm sure that, I mean, I see your face change when you talk about your team. Mm-hmm. So I know that it was like family. It is like family. It changes you.
It does.
So here's this passion growing in you of, you know, maybe I'm going to graduate college and do what? Like, what are you thinking? Like, what's your degree? Where were you thinking you were going to go?
And this is also another funny story. you know, I was part of that population or that percentage of college kids that start college knowing what they want to do. And then halfway they're like, yep, nope, I don't want to do this anymore. And that was me. I went in and I was like, okay, I want to be a firefighter. And I did all the stuff, the prereqs, EMT, all that stuff. And finally got to the point where I had to choose. It was either you do the academy, get your firefighter one, or you play basketball. And I wasn't ready to be done. So I said, you know, I'll come back to this. Fast forward to junior year of college, I did a lot of research papers because I was a communication studies major. Did a lot of research papers, and I kept it around fire because I was very interested in it. Because
your dad's a fireman.
Yes. So my dad was a firefighter, 36 years at Novato Fire Department. So I did a lot of research, and I realized within that research that this wasn't for me. I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't think that was the way I was supposed to do it. Okay. So it was really scary to be like, this is not what I want to do anymore. I didn't want to let my dad down, obviously. And he was fine. He was like, oh, it's all good. Like, yeah. I know you're going to figure it out. So, you know, I just finished. I said, okay, communication studies. I minored in social media analysis because I know that's just a big popular thing in today's world, knowing social media. I kind of didn't really know. I told myself that I just need to focus on my last year of collegiate ball. This is it. And I will figure it out. And that's what I did. And honestly, so I graduated May of 25. And I didn't figure out this until that following October. So I definitely went through what every college athlete goes through of an identity crisis.
Yeah.
And I was lost, like really lost when I moved home. I got a job and just worked like a 9-to-5 and grinded out. But I knew that I wasn't happy with it and I needed to figure something out.
Yeah. Now, so, you graduate, are you still exercising and doing your fitness thing when you graduated college? Or did you kind of say, maybe not do that either?
Well, you know, I spent so long training for my seasons and kind of running my body through the mud that it was hard. Like when I was going through this whole, like, what am I going to do? Who am I without sports? It put me in a little lull where I was like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work out. I don't. And, you know, I kind of fell into that for about a week or two.
A whole week. You're so kind to yourself.
Right. And then I was like, okay, like, what's going on here? Let's try to do something. So I'd go on walks and I'd kind of hang out with people, go to their gyms. And it just it wasn't clicking. I was like, I don't have the drive because I'm not doing it for.
You're not training for anything.
I'm not training for anything. And so that's where I knew I needed to shift my mentality of, okay, this is beyond basketball. Like, we got to take care of myself. Started noticing just like my mental clarity was just terrible. My sleep was terrible. I was like, this is not me. So I started seeing a bunch of people in Sonoma County post about this hot Pilates place. And I was like, what is this place? Windsor Fitness Club. So I went, I tried it, and I was like, oh, okay, I see the hype. And then I saw more people that I knew going. And I was like, okay, like let's go for a couple more times.
I mean, had you ever done anything like that?
Nope.
And
never.
Is this mat Pilates? I don't even know what hot Pilates is.
Yeah, so it's mat Pilates. They have hot yoga there too. Okay. So I did a couple of those. Saw that a lot of my, just who I know in Sonoma County, were members there. So I decided to get a membership. And I found a new outlet. I was like, wow, this is competitive. I can work hard for something. Like, there's a goal that I'm trying to reach. So I found that love again of pushing myself and wanting to work out. And, you know, shout out to the instructors there that obviously could easily pick out that I was a former athlete. That felt good that they were like, yeah, I can tell you were an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But they pushed me to then take it to the next level. They were like, do you have an interest in, you know, fitness, like teaching, coaching? And I was like, well, kind of, yeah, I do, but I just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And the owner of Windsor Fitness, Allison, gave me the opportunity. I went and talked to her. She said, yeah, why don't we like run a couple tests, see if you can be an instructor here?
Wow.
And so,
had you ever done anything like that? Like led a group?
No.
Anything?
Well, I mean, I was captain, like I was a team captain and stuff.
Yeah.
So having to lead that, I kind of felt like it was like that.
Okay.
And, you know,
because I'd be scared to death to do that.
Yeah, I definitely was.
Stand in front of a class and just be like, follow me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was scary. So, I just kind of, I think that's a big thing that I feel like personally everybody should be okay with is you just got to do it. You'll never be ready for things. You just have to do it.
That's a very mature train of thought.
Yeah.
Very hard to believe that that's true when you're not feeling confident.
Definitely.
To just take the leap.
Yep.
But 9 times out of 10, it pays off.
It does.
Even if it's just a personal payoff.
Yes.
Like, I feel good about myself, mm-hmm. or, wow, I'm proud of me.
Right.
Good for me. I did that.
Yes.
So right away, were you like, this is cool. I'm a good instructor, and people want to come to my class. And
yeah. So I kind of, you know, I had like my own style a little bit.
I know that based on the music you shared with me.
She don't like the music.
I just, it doesn't get me excited, but I'm not doing Matt Pilates, so maybe that's different.
Well,
but
I definitely don't play that in Pilates.
No.
That's different.
That's your other job, which we'll talk about.
Yes, yeah. But, you know, I told myself, be a teacher. Or, like, be a teacher, and then you need to also teach yourself. So I went and took so many classes because I wanted to see what different instructors did, how movements worked.
Oh, you took classes from other people.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting because when we first met to kind of get ready for the show and you were like, I'm taking all these classes, and I'm thinking taking classes, like online.
Yes.
I wasn't thinking taking classes like watching other instructors, which obviously that makes sense now.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Duh. Uh-huh. How else do you learn?
Yeah. So it's just a process that you have to trust. Like I'd look at probably if I was to look at myself back in November, my first classes to compare to now, totally different.
Same with me listening to my radio show.
Yeah,
totally
exactly.
different. You just get better.
Exactly. And that's the thing of like just start because you're going to get better. But that's also another thing. You got to trust the process.
Yes.
You got to trust it. So, yeah, and I've been there for 8 months now, and, you know, the community side of it and making people feel good. Like, that fills my cup.
Yeah.
They walk into my room knowing that they're going to get their ass kicked.
Yes.
But they're going to walk out of that door being like, wow, I did that.
So are you like the hot ticket, like everyone wants to take Sierra's class? Or do you have like your regulars? Do you have other like new people that peek in and go, oh, that's too hard for me? Like what's the vibe?
Because
I've never stepped foot in there.
I have pretty solid times where I've had them for a while. So I know my regulars and I love them. And then I always love, we can see on our schedule if we have a new person. I always love a new person.
Yeah.
Because yes, like for their first class ever, that's a tough one to do for mm-hmm. sure. But, you know, if they could get through that, then they could get through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just depends. I think it's not really about that. It's just I want to.
So in your class, are you like at the front of the class or do you walk around?
I'll start in the front.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe there's this big debate about Pilates instructors taking their own class while they teach.
Mm.
I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I just think that's not, I'm a coach, right? I'm your teacher. I'm your coach. I will cue you through what you need to know. And then I'll walk around and make sure everybody's.
Do a little body change.
Yeah. Do a little body change. I try to give more verbal than tactile cues mm-hmm. just because the room can be filled with 35 people.
It's hot in there.
And it's hot.
Everyone's sweaty.
Exactly. But if it's a smaller class, like if it's like 10 and under, then it's like, then you can be more, hey, can I, you know, can I adjust you real quick?
Yeah.
But with the 30 people, you kind of got to use verbal imagery cues. So, you know, and it's just keeping things simple. And
do you have people after class come and say, so that one thing we were doing, like, do you ever get that?
Yeah, for sure.
Let me show you what I meant.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah. So that's, I love it when, you know, people aren't afraid to be like, hey, like, I didn't understand what you meant by this. And it's like, great. Now that class is over, I can actually show you and give you like a couple things that you can work on for the next time, whoever class you take, you can do it. So it's super cool. Like, and you can be creative with it. There's only so much you could do.
Right.
Because it's just a mat and a couple dumbbells and some props. But
yeah.
Then, yeah, my other job, though, that's where you can get fun with it.
So talk about your other job.
So I am a CrossFit coach at CrossFit Northgate. And I have learned so much from there. And they are the ones that gave me the opportunity to start my business and help these athletes. But, you know, I did some training there in between seasons, so I already kind of knew who they were. And then as I was getting more into Pilates, I was like, well, maybe I'll just be like a Pilates princess and just Pilates, right? Like, I don't need that heavy lifting anymore. And then I started doing more research and I'm like, okay, I need strength training. I need like metabolic conditioning. I need, you know, resistance. I need that, like, pounding to, like, a box jump, the explosiveness. Like, I need that stuff.
Yeah.
In order
to... You personally need it?
No. Or... I need it to be healthy.
To be
longevity.
Yeah.
Right? So, I popped my head back in there after not being there for almost 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And right away, they just welcomed me in like family. And the owner, Ryan Parker, he was like, just talk my ear off, kid. What do you want to do? And that's where it kind of all flourished of, yeah, no, I want to help people, but I just don't know what it is. And he's like, okay, well, you're super into fitness. Like, maybe it's along the lines of that. And then he kind of gave me ideas. And then it kind of came into, you know what? Wait, I think I want to work with athletes. I want to work with those high school kids that just don't know. They don't know, but they could be so much better. And the potential could be so much to, you know, their sport, like translating over to their sport, but also translating to just life.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is going to go and play on.
Right. So you have this captured audience of these teenagers.
Yes.
Which you were a teenager.
I was.
I'm sure you know teenagers.
I do.
They know everything.
Yes.
So it's good that you're young because mm-hmm. you still look young enough that they could maybe think you're their age.
Right.
But you also got to get the parents mm-hmm. to buy in to
For
the
sure.
concept that, yeah, your kid's good. Mm-hmm. But if you really see your kid going to the next level, and there's parents out there that's all they are banking on.
Right.
Their kid playing at the next level. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you talk to them about what you think is important to a college athlete?
You know, I just kind of say, do you see, like, I kind of ask them, like, what is it that you want out of your kid, like, for them? Because, right, like, yes, the kid has their own saying, but, you know, sometimes the parents have to push them to want to be able to play the next level
right.
or want to take care of themselves or want to do better in their sport.
Yes.
And usually, based off their answer, I'll just kind of be like, okay, well, you know, it's beyond their skill. Like, I try, and that's what they think. They're like, oh, my kid can do this and
They're
all this stuff
athlete.
On the court or
yeah.
on the field. It's like, great, that's awesome. Have they lifted a weight before? No, I don't want my kid to get like bulky or like,
yeah.
I don't want that.
That could take away from whatever
right.
their finesse or
like,
whatever they think.
Or are they running? No. I don't want my kid to like pull a hamstring or a quad or whatever. I'm like,
okay, well, this is important because this is specifically what you're talking about.
Yes.
That you should be able to do all the things and prevent the injury if you're doing it to, like, that's really your audience. Those people who think, we can't cross train. We can't, not during season.
Different for sure.
But you really have to.
No, I definitely, you know, and I try to encourage them, like, no, strength training is going to be their key to success. Not because they're just getting stronger. Like, it goes beyond that. Injury prevention, huge. Right? If we have that muscle to protect ourselves and that strength, I mean, half the time, I mean, I get kids and I'm like, hey, do a squat for me. And their biomechanics, like, they're just the way that they were, they don't know. They just don't know. And their body's so flimsy and weak. And it's like, well, no wonder why, like, your back hurts or your hip hurts or you tore your ACL junior year of high school. Like, so there's definitely many benefits to strength training and conditioning to your sport. It's more than just the skill. And it's going to make their skill so much better. There was another thing I was going to say. But, yeah, so.
Okay, so you mentioned this more than once. Metabolic.
What
do you mean by that?
So metabolic, it's just like it's a conditioning that, like, you're getting that heart rate up, right? Like, you're challenging your body to a limit that it needs to go past of, like, comfort.
So instead of aerobic, you're anaerobic, or not that, not without oxygen. Or is it that? Or are you just going to failure?
It's like, not, I don't know what that failure means. It's to, like, your top potential. So,
which I assume would keep moving up.
It keeps going up for sure. You just got to get there. And they always say, getting in shape is really hard, and it is. But once you're in shape, it's really easy to maintain.
Staying in shape is not as hard.
Staying in shape is not as hard. I mean, I know it doesn't make any sense, but it's true.
I'm not there yet, but I mean, I think I shared with you that I started my wellness journey. So I got rheumatoid arthritis when I was 15. My listeners already know this, but I was an athlete before that. Cheerleader, on the track team, like, swimmer, like, what's your sport? I will play that. I know I was very confident in this body of mine. And then I got rheumatoid arthritis, and it was just degenerative and over time. And, like, in college, I still would swim for fun or take an aerobics class. Then I got into fitness, like going to fitness classes, where I felt really accomplished taking step classes and all that kind of group fitness. I love that dynamic of being in a group fitness class. The music, the vibes, the people that you see. Hi, hey, don't know them, but we're in class together. Then, you know, you start having babies and whatever, your life gets away from you. And all of a sudden it's like, I have no idea what this body of mine is even capable of. Because I'm not pushing it to any extremes. I'm just going through life. And aside from arthritis, like, I've never hurt myself doing anything because I never put myself in that position. So when I decided to get fit and I got a personal trainer at the gym, again, I said to someone just the other day, I'm not going to work out on my own. I'm not. I know what the machines are at the gym. I don't even know what weight I use. Like, that's his job, to set up the machines, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But I'm not going in on my off day and figuring it shit out. Just like with Pilates, I have one-on-one sessions. She puts me on the reformer. She does the springs. She tells me what to do, Pilates chair. I don't need to know anything. I'm just there getting instruction. And how valuable that's been for my own life. And how strong I feel. And, like I say, I just got to stay strong enough to get on the floor with my grandkids. But I would never even consider getting on the floor. Because how am I getting up? Like, that's where I was. And I think a lot of people in their life, and they say the older you get, the more important weights are. Well, what if you started
later?
What if you started earlier? But because I started way late, like 60. So I mean, I do have a muscle. I'll let you feel it later. But imagine if that was our whole life. Athlete or not athlete. You know, when you're pregnant and carrying around 30 extra pounds of pregnancy, and then the baby's gone, and then you're carrying the baby. And you have to get on the, like, all those things that you just take for granted. This body is always going to be working for you, but it's not.
Yeah.
There are no guarantees in that.
Yeah.
So this kind of thing that you're talking about, it's bigger than sports.
Yes, it's bigger than sports. And just to piggyback off what you said, and I think it's great because you've invested in yourself.
Yes.
Into your fitness and bettering yourself is an investment. And I think people either don't know that or they just can't accept that.
Well, it's also a privilege.
It is. It is a privilege.
And it's a privilege that you need a little bit of money.
Exactly. But you did mention, you said, you know, I'm not going to work out on my own,
no.
Which is very valid. Yeah. And it's like,
gym scared me. I didn't even want to walk in,
yeah.
Which is what I think about CrossFit.
I think, oh my God. Yeah. CrossFit is, a lot of people are intimidated by it, but it's not to be anything intimidated by,
yeah.
Just for reference.
But I've watched your videos. I'm like, she looks like she's working out in a warehouse with like a bunch of people that are going to kick somebody's butt.
It looks
very intimidating.
But one thing that you had mentioned is, well, how you said, you know, I'm not going to work out on my own. Well, it's really easy, you know, if people, well, I don't want to pay or this. And it's like, yeah, there's free YouTube videos out there. But do you have that discipline to put yourself through that?
Yes.
Right. And that's where, and this goes with parents, their kids, and when they get older in life. You got to invest in it.
No. And I don't have any discipline. I'll be the first to admit it.
Right.
I'm not going to get up and go to, like, my husband is a gym rat. He loves the gym. The alarm goes off at 4:45 every morning and he's pops out of bed like he was never even asleep.
Yeah.
And he's at the gym and he's grinding. And if a day goes by where he misses the gym, he's grumpy.
Yeah.
Like, it's part of his life. And I know people like that, but that seems like an extreme to me.
Yeah.
And I'm probably,
I mean, there's
the other
definitely
extreme.
A line. I definitely believe that a lot of people see fitness as a hobby. It's not.
That's
it
so
should
true.
Be part of your, it's like your hygiene routine.
Yeah.
Right? Just like you brush your teeth, shower, put deodorant on. It doesn't mean you got to do CrossFit and like throw around barbells.
Right.
But you got to get your body moving. You have to. It's supposed to be part of your routine. It's not, you don't do it because it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it is cool.
It's
but...
cool. It's also cool. I mean, so you as a little youngster that I knew.
Yeah.
And the way that you've transformed your body, like the muscles that you have, which are very, you're very muscular, but still quite feminine. Like, people are afraid of that too.
Yeah.
Like, what's, you know, how do you contradict that belief system? Like, I don't want to be that. I'm
right.
not trying to be ripped.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to be strong.
Strong.
Healthy.
I think, you know, body image is a really sensitive topic to people.
Yeah.
I struggled with how, you know, beefy and buff I've always looked, but I embraced it. And I think it's all about mindset. If you change your mindset and you give yourself the confidence, it's going to glow on the outside.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm beefy and I'm buff, but like, thank you for saying this, that I'm still very feminine.
I know you are. I've seen pictures of you. You wear dresses and
yeah.
you like to look pretty and do your hair and all those things.
Yeah.
And even like your workout outfits. It's not like you're walking around in like baggy pants. Like,
yeah.
This is a body you're proud of.
Yes.
You worked hard for it.
Exactly. And that's my mindset. You know, I'm proud of this. I wake up every day and I'm like, I get to move my body. I'm not restricted.
Yeah.
You know, so...
All right. So how do we get people in touch with you if they want to help their child,
yeah.
if they want to help themselves?
Yeah.
Like, what are you, like, what is your availability to help people? Like, how is this a business?
So basically right now I just, for kids, for athletes, younger athletes, I just opened up a small group training. So Wednesdays and Fridays, every Wednesday, Friday at 2:30. I have drop-ins for these small group trainings. You're still going to get the hands-on work. You're still going to learn from ground up, right? You're going to get those basic fundamentals. You're going to learn how to move weight. And this, you know, if they end up not wanting to play a sport, they're going to take that into being an adult and
yeah.
knowing how to take care of themselves in the future.
So they don't have to catch up.
Yeah.
They're already caught up.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I do personal trainings. Like, I have a lot of moms that did have their kids, like you said, and it's hard, and or they've done CrossFit in the past,
yeah,
and then they had kids and they're like, I can't get back into it, like, can you help me? And I'm like, yes, come. right? Like, yes, there's the crazy, intimidating stuff that you see on the internet of people doing muscle ups and stuff, but that's what people, the difference is like CrossFit is like you can scale it to the level that you're at and you're always going to get better. And that's with anything in fitness, right?
Which is that philosophy of I'm dealing with the body in front of me.
Yes.
It's not just one size fits all.
Yes.
And that's personal training. That's the definition of why you want to be a personal trainer.
Right.
Because you want to make it personal.
Yes.
And you want it to feel personal. Mm-hmm. So are you having kids drop in now? Like, are you seeing some?
Yeah. So I have some individuals that I see that I work with. Doesn't matter what sport. I have kids that softball, basketball. I have a lacrosse kid coming soon. And then the small group, you know, it's the same thing. I've kind of opened it to it not just being high school. Like, I have a couple middle school kids that come.
Oh, I love
and it's
that.
Like, if you're interested, if your kid's actually interested and wants to learn, please come.
Yes.
Like, I want to teach you, right?
I saw a kid at the gym today. He came in with his dad, and he's on one of those little baseball teams, and I guess they just won, and they're going to the next level.
Oh, cool.
So all the kids dyed their hair, bleached their hair.
Oh, yep.
And he was in there doing those box jumps.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so cool. So he jumps on the box facing the box.
Okay.
And jumps off backwards. So I don't know if he spun in the air
oh,
to jump off the
did.
Other side.
Yeah.
Or if he turned on top of the box. I couldn't see because there were people in the way. But I was like, he's like 12.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you're a stud.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
And what that takes to do that in a, you know, that's like an organized exercise. Mm-hmm. That's not just running sprints in the grass.
Yeah.
Like, and I was kind of like looking at his dad going, good job.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, his team wasn't with him. It was just this one kid, but you know, that's just going to make him a better whatever in baseball.
And it should be fun. At the end of the day,
yeah,
a lot of people look at working out and fitness like a drag, like, oh, I gotta do this, but it should be fun, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to make you feel good about yourself. So that's really cool that you saw that.
Okay, well, we could talk for 5 hours.
I know, right?
It's already a quarter to two, and I haven't done any of my radio business, but I want to share with you and my audience. So I'm reading this book called Stoicism. It's 365 Daily Lessons for Motivation, Mental Strength, and Emotional Clarity. And the Stoics are this group of men in the olden days who had these ideas about what people should be. So day 16. Even though we're on day 18, I started late. So this is called No to Walk Away. A person's worth is measured by the things they choose to walk away from. That's Marcus Aurelius. He's one of the famous Stoics. So at the height of his career, Dave Chappelle was offered $50 million contract to continue Chappelle's show on Comedy Central. To the outside world, it was a dream, fame, fortune, and influence. But behind the scenes, Dave Chappelle felt the weight of expectations, the compromises, and the loss of peace. So he did the unthinkable. He walked away. There was no scandal, no meltdown, no headline-making fight. He simply boarded a plane to South Africa and disappeared from the spotlight. The media called him unstable. Critics said he was crazy. Yet Chappelle later explained, "The most important thing to me is not being right, it's being free." Years later, he returned on his own terms. His voice was sharper, his presence stronger. He proved that walking away did not end his career, it preserved his soul. So why this matters? Walking away is not weakness, it's wisdom. The Stoic does not cling to money, titles, or approval. He knows when to step back from the deal, the spotlight, or the stage, because peace is worth more than any paycheck. So this is kind of also about passion. Examine one thing that you're holding on to out of fear, a role, a relationship, a habit, or a reputation. Ask yourself, is this building me or breaking me? If it's breaking you, begin the walk towards freedom today. So, like, this is kind of like what you did. Like, you walked away from a traditional job.
Yes.
That's going to pay your bills.
Yep.
To something that you are passionate about that maybe doesn't have the same financial gain, but
no,
the personal gain.
Yes.
Is priceless.
Exactly.
And I know that you want people to feel that same passion, the personal gain of gaining strength.
Yes.
And confidence in the body that's walking around the world with us. Like,
exactly.
We can't survive without this thing being strong.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with mental strength.
Yes.
Sleep, clarity, and the commitment to your body shouldn't be last, but in many cases it is. It's mm-hmm. like an afterthought. Whatever.
Right.
It got me up today. So we're going to build on that mm-hmm. by promoting this that you're going to do, because I think that the younger you start, my husband started running at age 15. He runs 3 miles every day, pretty much every day.
That's awesome. That's
and
amazing.
He, if he misses it, it's not good.
Right. Like it's a bad day.
It affects him. Yep. So when he's sick or, God forbid, has to have a surgery and is recovering, it's not good. Yep. Nobody wants to be around a boy that doesn't get to run and work out. So, and as irritating as that can be, like, that's admirable. Mm-hmm. You know, to have started something that long ago that was positive.
Right.
And to still have it fill you up and make you happy.
Right.
And I can see just the way you talk about fitness. I wish people could see you. Like, you light up. Like, this is a passion. And you just want to make it a career.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
And I want to help you do that.
Well, thank you so much.
So, yes. My little audience, I'm going to put it. I'm going to share your social contacts.
Yes, please.
And, you know, we're going to just get it out there. There are parents out there that could use your services. There are grown-ups out there that could use your... It's never too late.
No, it's never too late, and I'm here to help anyone.
And if we can prevent one more high school athlete from ripping an ACL mm-hmm. or having to have a total knee reconstruction or whatever it is, even learning how to fall. Yep. Like, you fall
that
better.
That is a skill, learning yes. how to fall. It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the times that I've taken a tumble and I'm going to fall down, like, in my mind, I'm like... Am I going to break an arm or am I going to yeah. bust my ass? Because yeah. I'm going to try to spin and land on something bigger or mm-hmm. stronger. Mm-hmm. But the older you get, nothing's big and nothing's strong unless you're building it.
Yes. Exactly.
So I'm going to be your mouthpiece. I'm going to put everything linked to me. Mm-hmm. This show is going to be on my Spotify channel tomorrow.
Perfect.
You're going to share it with all your people.
Yes.
Because I think it's important. And I think that we need people who are relatable, and kids can relate to you, parents can relate to you. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to know somebody that did it, and you did it. You left high school not thinking you were ever going to play, and you had a very successful college basketball career.
Yes.
So, like, that's a success story.
Yeah.
And that will carry on into the workplace. I've talked to you about this many times. My husband loves to hire athletes.
Yeah.
Because of that team mentality, that family mentality, mm-hmm. we know you're going to show up for your coworkers. We know you're going to show up for, you know, the team when you have to go give a presentation. You're
right.
going to cheer each other on.
Yes.
Those skills are built on the practice fields.
Yes, they are.
They're built on the courts.
Yes, they are.
And my daughter is an excellent employee. And I know it's because of that,
yes.
because of those teams that she was on.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you to wake up early and show up for everyone.
Definitely.
And those are life skills.
Exactly.
So I thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much, Danny.
I'm going to do my public service announcements for
okay.
cows. We didn't get to play any of your music.
That's okay.
Not a loss. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah. Yeah.
I'm going to link all the songs in case you want to hear what Sierra listens to when she's pushing weight out there.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Well, you said that they make you happy, the songs.
They make me happy, but yeah. not when I'm working out.
Okay. Well,
I didn't really know if I should put, like, Metallica on here or something.
Well, we can. We play all kinds of music. But this was great, and this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. So
perfect.
I thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Coming to the studios, it's not that easy to take time out of your life. You probably have 5 more classes to teach today.
I definitely got a couple tonight.
Okay. Well, we're really close to your CrossFit studio. You could probably walk there from here.
No, Pilates. I got Pilates tonight.
I know, but CrossFit's close by, right?
Isn't it? Yeah, CrossFit is close by.
It's
on Mendocino, right by Trek Cycling.
Yeah.
Like, on that same strip. So.
Yeah, so we could walk there if we wanted to.
Yeah, we could.
You could show me how not scary it is.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Sierra.
Thank you so much, Danny.
All right, this has been Level Up with Danny. I'm your host. Sierra Mihelic was my guest today, and I'm going to link all of her contact things, and you can reach out to her on all the social medias, and she will definitely get back to you because she's that kind of a girl. All right, I got to read some public service announcements and all the things that they require me to do here at CALS that I love to do. So this is Tommy's Holiday Camp every Friday on KOWS from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tommy's Holiday Camp. Expect something different with your host, Arnaldo. I think I read this before, and I wondered why it was called Tommy's Holiday Camp when the host is named Arnaldo, and I still haven't found that out. It could be interviews on issues local, national, and global, or live in-studio music, storytelling, and poetry. Recorded music played has a mostly eclectic British bent, wherein or celebrated the birthdays of notables and events throughout history. Check out past interviews and shows at tommysholidaycamp.com. We also have a PSA. You don't need to be a policy expert to stay informed. Issue Voter makes civic engagement simple. Get alerts about bills in Congress, share your opinion, and track your representatives' votes right from your phone. No stress or jargon, just clear, accessible information. Get connected, stay engaged, and visit issuevoter.org to start making your voice count. This has been a public service announcement courtesy of CALS Radio, Free Speech, No Bull, Community Radio for West Sonoma County. KOWS LP 92.5 FM, Occidental California, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com. There's one other event. California Bluegrass Association has a Father's Day Bluegrass Festival, June 18th to the 21st. It's the 51st annual. There's a bunch of bands playing, three stages of music, square dances, youth programs, jam session. It's at three locations, the Nevada County Fairgrounds. No, not three locations. The Nevada County Fairgrounds in Grass Valley, California. This year's festival features a highly anticipated reunion of the Bluegrass Cardinals, along with performances by the Sam Grisham Project, the Ramblin' Boys, a bunch of people. So if you want to go to that, get tickets. Single-day tickets range from $25 to $85, four-day passes priced at $70 for ages 13 to 17 and $240 for adults. 65 and over, it's $225. The way you get tickets is www.fathersdayfestival.com. So that's my radio business. I guess I can play one song. You guys tell me if you love this song that Sierra told me to play.
It better be The Spins.
It's going to be the one you want me to play. Let's see. What was it called?
The Spins.
That's the name of the song?
Yes.
Okay, why don't I see it? The Spins. Okay, come on, hurry up. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, here we go. We're going to play The Spins by Mac Miller and Empire of the Sun. It says it's explicit, but that's not about me.
Dope shit like that, Jerm. Oh, hi. Welcome back to Kids. Follow your dreams. Yeah. Wanna get a mansion, a jacuzzi, a theater to watch my movies, couple whips and lots of fancy things. The kids, they call it Goonies. I see the future, crystal ball, mirror, mirror hanging on the wall. Who the flyest white boy of them all? Got your girlfriend screening all the calls. She bubbling, we fucking and you cuddling. Like, baby, where the fuck you been? Don't wanna tell you she in love with him. So we ain't saying nothing. You could probably tell she bluffing, cause she kissed you with the mouth. She gave me head with my concussion. Yeah, she blushing all red. Wanna rush and go to bed. You interrogate that bitch like you the fed. So she says she in love with a rock star. Rock star wanna smoke my weed. So she asked me where the tops are. Tops are.
Oh.
Top drawer.